going to win this game.
Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia.
Hello and welcome to Who Does a Damn It? Tears from the Press Box. I am your host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my co-host as always.
What's going on, everybody? Brennan Tassif coming to you live from New York City, baby.
Coming to you live from New York City. We got a lot to get to, not a lot of time to get to it. So let's dig in.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off.
Brennan, your Orlando Magics were able to end the Cavs winning streak at 16. The Magic is a team we've been talking about because they have looked very confusing throughout this whole season. Good when some of their key players were out. Bad when some of those key players came back. This is a big win. This is giving the Cavs only their 11th loss on the season. So this is a very big win as far as the direction in which they're going. They're still below 500. But what do you think this means of a team that could see them in the first round of the playoffs?
So this is a big fall from grace for the Orlando Magic from taking the Cavaliers to 7 last year in the playoffs. It's interesting. The Cavs didn't. It seemed like they didn't want it. They shot, I think, like 28 or 31% from three, whereas the Magic were over right around 40%. And they were still like barely hanging on to this game. It was an interesting thing, as you said. Started the season super strong.
Cavs 25% from three, jeez.
Oh, yeah. Paolo and Franz go out, and they hold the line. And then when they come back, all of a sudden, there's no offense. This is the kind of team, when you watch them, you think, like, when they make a basket, you go, that might be the last basket they make all game. Like, this offense is so bad. So, I don't know if it means a lot moving forward. I think I love the Magic's core. I like the players that they have. I just don't understand how this freeze in offense kind of came about. It's just... To your point, that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like they're confused sometimes when they're out on the floor of like who should be shooting, who should be facilitating and things like that. I think this is just a little stumbling block for the Cavaliers. I don't think it means anything long term. I think Donovan Mitchell can be the best player on a championship team. And so I think the Cavs are the top team in the East. Them and the Celtics are kind of there neck and neck. But I mean... As a Magic fan, I was like, hey, how you doing? We're still here. Don't forget about us. But yeah, nothing. No, nothing to write home about kind of stuff.
Alrighty, moving right along. Because the Thunder were moving through the Eastern Conference. How many games did they have on this swing? They had three games. They had the Celtics. They had the Pistons. They had the Bucks. They won all three of those games. A potential championship preview, potential, because the Cavs are right there, but the Celtics are another team in the East. That was a really good close game. They won that by 6. They played the Pistons, beat them. They played the Bucks, hammered them. What does this East Coast swing tell you about the Thunder?
It tells me less about the
another
Thunder.
Another one of your teams, by the way. One of your backup teams.
Tells me less about the Thunder. This is going to be a zag. Tells me more about the Pistons. Pistons might be a team to be feared when we start the playoffs. I don't think they could win the championship. I don't even think they could make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But the Pistons from last year were an absolute dumpster fire, and they could win a first-round series this year. And so that's kind of what I took away from this, because I think the Thunder is the best team in the NBA at the current moment. They fixed the rebounding issue that they had last year by going out and getting Hartenstein. I think, and Chet, now that he's back and he's healthy, they look great. And Chase, obviously, SGA, we talked about, is the front runner for the MVP. But I just, their age might be a factor. They don't have the experience. So we'll see how that plays out. But Yeah, I mean, the Bucks thing was kind of shocking. I don't know about you, but to bury them like that when the Bucks were on an upswing is kind of shocking.
Yeah, I think the one that is the most interesting, obviously, is the potential championship preview with the Celtics. Because I would love to have seen Porzingis play in that game. Porzingis did not play in that game.
Illness. It's not even an injury. He's like out with an illness or something.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like something weird.
So, yeah, just to see how they match up with him on the floor because they have that additional size now. The Thunder, man, they're really good. They're really good. I wonder how it looks in the postseason because one of the things that has been a topic of discussion, people have called Shea a free throw merchant, a foul merchant. And, you know, calls are harder to come by in the postseason. So I wonder how that's going to look. How is he going to adapt his game this year versus last year? With that being a spotlight on him. And yeah, I wonder how Hartenstein and Chet play together when they're playing some of the bigs out west and potentially in the finals. I mean, the Cavs, they got two big guys that they're going to have there if they meet them. Porzingis, Al Horford, and Cornette, shockingly enough, make an impact for the Celtics. So it's going to be interesting to see that. That was a game that really stuck out to me. But like you said, the Pistons have really, I mean, probably one of the greatest bounce backs from year over year. They were the worst team last year. They're not even going to have to be in the play-in this year, it looks like. They're going to be a six seed lock. I think with potential to move up, I'd have to double check, maybe to a five seed. Do they have that room? Yeah, they're only game and a half back and forth.
Yeah.
So they could, if they continue to make improvements, they could keep moving up. That'll be interesting to keep an eye on. But yeah, that Bucks getting waxed like that, that was interesting because they were starting to round into form, looking really good, especially after the Kuzma trade. They've been looking really well. So
Porzingis is back. I was just reading up on it. Apparently it was an unidentified upper respiratory infection. Mm-hmm. They didn't know if it was bronchitis or mono, but he missed 8 games from it. But he scored 28 points in 32 minutes on Saturday at Barclays against the Nets.
Hmm.
24 points in 32 minutes against the Nets. In Barclays.
Okay, I thought you said the Nuggets. I was like, what?
The Nets.
I was like, we just lost to Washington.
Yeah,
confusing ass team.
Yeah, you did.
So fucking annoying. At home, no less. But a couple of things to talk about. Where you're sitting right now, Jalen Brunson has been out for a period of time. I think I read that he's going to miss another additional 1 or 2 weeks. Do you think the Knicks can survive that? And what is your read on the Knicks team this year?
So I don't think the Knicks can, quote unquote, survive in the sense that I don't think they could keep winning games at the clip that they're winning them. But the Brunson thing, everyone wants to blame Tibbs and his overusage of players and stuff, but it was kind of a freak accident kind of a thing. I don't think it had anything to do with the amount he's playing. He's a young guy. Like, he's not even 30 yet. So, like, let everyone relax on that.
Is he not 30?
No, the 28. The Knicks are in prime position, though, because they are third. So even if he sits out the rest of the year and say they go 500, they're still not going to be in the play-in. They still, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think they're going to be okay. But I don't know. I don't know, because this is the thing. You bring him back in, say, 2 weeks. You give him extra time to rest. You bring him back. And then if he re-aggravates that injury right before the playoffs, we talk about it all the time. It's about getting healthy at the right time. And you're the 3 seed now. Like, do you really want to risk, okay, well, let's stay at the 3 seed and then risk him re-aggravating the injury? Or do you want to go into the playoffs, like, ready to rock?
I think it's going to come down to their schedule, who they're going to face kind of to end the year. When do you try to work him back? They kind of have a light end of year schedule. They play the Cavs one more time, Detroit only one more time, Boston only one more. Cavs two more times, Boston only one more time, Detroit one more time. After that, it's a couple of, they have Miami, San Antonio, Charlotte, Washington, Dallas. Like, that's
Dallas is ravaged by
winnable
injury.
Games.
I guessed on the Jalen Brunson thing. He is 28. God, I took a shot in the dark.
Did you? Wow, you lucky dog. Because I was like, he did more than 1 year in college. I was like, he was in Dallas. He just got there. I was like, I don't know.
The more I thought of it, I was like, Brandon, he could be 36. And
I know he was that old. That would put him up there with KD. I know he's not that old. But, so it's like you said, I don't think they'll fall out of the three seed, but that team, they've put so many pieces together over this offseason. Those guys need as many reps as they can get him, Cat, Bridges,
and I think this is good for Bridges.
Out in the postseason.
Because Bridges, when he first got there, he was just like standing in the corner doing threes. And it's like, you traded, what was it, 5 picks for this guy so he could sit in the corner? Like, what are we doing? So I think this would be good for Bridges to get some more reps in.
I was about to say, but I would want him to have those reps in with our number Jaylen, one scorer, our guy who he's going to be on the floor with a lot of time.
I'd say the Wizards, but they seem like a tough team to beat. Put him in there against the Wizards.
Anyway, the Lakers, the 40-year-old wonder, did also suffer an injury recently, and he's been missing some time. I don't know the timetable for him to return, but the Lakers have fallen from 2 in the West down to number 5 in the West. They're not going to fall out of the play, the automatic in. What do we call this? They're not going to fall out of the safe zone. They're not going to fall out of the safe zone. But they did go on a hellacious losing streak as soon as he had that injury. They lost the game to the Celtics where he got hurt. Then they lost to the Nets, lost to the Bucks. They sat Luka for the Nuggets game, lost that game. Bounced back with a win against the Suns because everybody beats the Suns. But
I know we talked about it the last 2 weeks in a row, but what a disaster.
How are they still not taking over the 10th seed? Dallas is out there with me and you and Nico himself, and they still can't get over that 10th seed. It's crazy. Still 2.5 games back on that 10th
seed. That's so crazy.
They've been 2.5 back since we last spoke to you all. It's insane. But how do you think this fares for the Lakers? LeBron's going to be coming back from injury right around the final sprint to the postseason. We saw this, I think it was 2 years ago, where he had a leg injury, a foot injury going into the playoffs that kind of impacted how he played against the Nuggets, and they ended up getting swept in that series. Was that the year they made it to the Western Conference Finals? I mean, so it didn't really affect them that much, but then...
Yeah, because they played them in the Conference Finals, and they got swept, but everyone was saying, like, this did not any game could have been a win. Like, they got swept, but the Nuggets were winning by, like, 2 points, 4 points.
Yeah, game winner here, game winner there. Yeah,
exactly.
So, I don't know, man. LeBron, he's kind of a conundrum. What do you think? Do you think this injury is something that's going to linger?
A lot of people were reporting him at the the state championship game, the high school game, and he was like jumping around on the sidelines and he was like having a good time. And I think he's fine. I think he's being cautious because he is 40 now and it's a groin injury, which can be tricky. So I think this is the opposite of the Brunson thing. Actually, I think he's doing what I was talking about with Brunson, where he's playing it safe, but I think they're going to be fine. I think they're not really concerned about the seeding as long as they're in the safe zone. And I think he would rather come back rested and fully healed than like push, because he has the capacity, he has the constitution to be like, fuck this, we're going out there, I'm winning these games. But I don't think he feels that is necessary, especially when they have Luka on their roster. So I think he'll come back, like you said, he'll come back for the that sprint going into the playoffs. But I don't think this is going to be a lingering injury. Now, groins are tricky, especially at that age. Trust me. But this guy dumps $1 million a year into his body and his performance. I think he's going to be A-OK for the playoffs. I think he wants to make one more run. And this is crazy. because we thought the Lakers were done. We thought LeBron, or I thought the Lakers were going to be done. LeBron was getting old. Anthony Davis, you know, healthy one season, not healthy the next, in his mid-30s. I was like, finally, the Lakers will fall. And then they get, you know, Austin Reeves looks like a man possessed out there. And they trade for Luka. So they're going to be fine for the next 10 years. Again, yeah. Lakers, always doing it.
Train never stops. All right, Brennan, it's time for one of our favorite games.
Time for favorite games. Who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down? We're doing this NCAA men's and women's basketball tourney style. Joe, what do you got?
Oh, Brennan, the game that is sweeping the nation for years, the men's and women's tournament. So I'm going to go through over the next four weeks and just give you who I have is going to move on to the second round, to the next round, I should say. I'm not going to go game by game because that would take forever and a year. On the front end, I want to say I've watched zero men's college basketball games this year. I watched about a good 15 to 20 women's games this year. So this is all the information I have. Who's going to make it to the Sweet 16? Brennan, I got Louisville making it to the Sweet 16. Auburn is one of your number one seeds. I think they're going to end up losing. A lot of people sleeping on the ACC because the ACC has been beating each other up lately. But I think the ACC, we saw NC State make it to the Final Four a couple years ago. We saw Miami make it to the Final Four a couple years ago. The ACC is still where some of the best basketball is played, whether you like to believe it or not. So I have in the Sweet 16, I have number 8 Louisville, number 5 Michigan. I got number 11 either San Diego State or UNC coming out, and I have them facing off against number 7 Marquette. Again, I want to say on the front end, I don't know what I'm talking about. In the West, I have Florida going down to UConn. UConn, two-time defending champion. They're not going to get knocked out in the first weekend. Florida has been playing fantastic. This is purely out of spite. All my friends are Florida Gators fans. I can't have them having success in their lives. So I have UConn beating them to make it to the Sweet 16 and facing off against number 5, Memphis. I like Anthony Hardaway. You like Anthony Hardaway. We're rooting for Anthony Hardaway. Number 3, Texas Tech is a little more chalk. Number 3, Texas Tech. And number 2, St. John's. Rick Pitino, he's going to get the Johnnies there. This is what he does. All right. In the East, well, I got nothing but 8 seeds making it, baby. In the East, number 8, Mississippi State. The SEC, very competitive. I think some of their teams will break through to make it to the Sweet 16. I think Mississippi State has one of the easier roads. They're going to be facing off against Duke. I don't know if Cooper Flagg is going to play. Will he think about his future? I don't know. We will see. Again, I don't know what I'm talking about. Number 4, Arizona makes it 4. BYU, the Mormons, they make it as a 6 seed in the Sweet 16. And number 7, St. Mary's, they will also make it to the Sweet 16. And in the final portion of the bracket, the Midwest, again, this is the men's. In the Midwest, we got Houston, number 1 Houston. They'll advance to the Sweet 16. Clemson, number 5 Clemson, will advance to the Sweet 16. Illinois and Tennessee. That is who's making it to the Sweet 16. So Louisville, Michigan, San Diego State, or North Carolina. Even though North Carolina backdoored their way in. It's a TV product, people. North Carolina's getting in. One of the biggest names. Marquette is getting in. Shaka's going to do what Shaka's going to do. UConn's getting in. Memphis, Texas Tech, St. John, the Johnnies, Mississippi State, Arizona, BYU, St. Mary's, Houston, Clemson, Illinois, Tennessee. That is in the men's bracket. Now, whew, that was a lot.
You nailed that.
We still got the women's bracket to go through, folks. This one I'm a little more confident on, all right? So for the Sweet 16, in the Regional 1, I hate that they don't put East, West, Midwest, South. Regional 1, we got UCLA, who is the number 1 overall. We got Ole Miss. We got LSU, we got NC State. That is in Region 1. In Region 4, we got USC. Shout out to Juju Walker and them girls over there. They're going to advance. Kansas State, they're going to advance. Iowa, without Caitlin Clark, they're making it to the Sweet 16. And UConn, the Huskies, Geno, this is what he do. March is his time. He is going to make it as a number 2 seed to the Sweet 16 with the regional in Regional 4. In Regional 2, you got South Carolina making it out. This is Dawn Staley's time. It, just like it's Geno's time, this is Dawn's time. Dawn is not getting knocked out in weekend number 1, guys. She will make it to the Sweet 16. She will be facing off against Alabama, who's going to make it. North Carolina, and Kara Larson has her Duke squad humming. After coming off winning the ACC championship, she will have them ready to play and make it all the way to the Sweet 16. And in the Region 3, Texas, your number 1 seed, will make it. Tennessee is going to make it. Shout out to Pat Summit. Notre Dame is for sure going to make it. Hannah Hidalgo, Olivia Miles, there's no way they're getting knocked out in the first weekend. And Louisville will make it in the Region 3. So that is UCLA, LSU, Ole Miss, NC State, USC, Kansas State, Iowa, UConn, South Carolina, Alabama, North Carolina, Duke, Texas, Tennessee, Notre Dame, and Louisville. That is your men and women's Sweet 16. Again, any money you put on this, I'm not at fault. Brennan.
Yeah.
Football.
Yes. Give you a things little happening. Bit of a break.
Thank you, please.
Killing it. Couple of things I wanted to touch on with the NFL. Aaron Rodgers taking his time to declare that he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Don't know why. Everyone knows that's where he's going. And then new quarterback landing spots. Sam Darnold is in Seattle, as we've already discussed. Geno Smith is with the Vegas Raiders. Justin Fields is with the New York Jets. And then Aaron Rodgers most likely will go to the Steelers, leaving the door open for the Tennessee Titans to draft Cam Ward and then the Giants to pick up Shedeur Sanders. It's kind of what the landscape
so I wonder, in this musical chair that you have, where does Russell Wilson end up?
Ooh, that is a great question. Russell Wilson has gone to...
he's met with the Browns and he's met with the Giants.
Yeah, so I think he ends up with the Browns because I think the Giants play. I think the Giants know they're taking Shedeur. I think Dion, Coach Prime, wants Shedeur to be in New York on the biggest stage.
To be the first time they've intentionally had a black quarterback start for them. They're going to go with Dion's son.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I think that's what Dion wants, and I think Brian
Dable. They once fired a coach because he started a black quarterback.
Allegedly.
I mean, but what, yeah, what I was like Ben McAdoo?
Yeah.
He was like, Eli stinks.
Who was it, Tyron?
No, it was Geno Smith.
Eli stinks.
Let me start Geno. After that game, Geno was benched. They put Eli back in. Ben McAdoo was fired from the team.
Yeah, now look at Geno. He's going to turn things around, culture and the Raiders. Yeah, so I think that's how it'll end up. I think Russell Wilson ends up on the Browns. I think he just took the Giants interview to push the price up on himself for the Browns, which is crazy because the Browns just, well, not just, but still owe $80 million to Deshaun Watson. And now Russ is like, let me push the price up for myself. But
and the Browns had to pay Myles Garrett too.
Yeah. But I think that'll be good for the Browns because say what you want about Russell Wilson. And I do quite often because I think he's corny as shit. And I think he is the most like hollow interview you'll ever hear, but he is a great character guy. There's no question about it. As far as off the field issues and stuff like that, he's never had any. I mean, he's married to Sierra and that beat is automatic, systematic, supersonic, funky, fresh. If you know what I'm
saying. Look at you. A couple other things I wanted to get to real fast. The Bengals actually spent money.
Yes, they did.
Last night, the news came in. They extended Chase and Higgins. So they're retaining both of them. And they're talking, I saw Diana Rossini report, they're talking with Trey Hendrickson to even keep him in the building and not let him leave. So that was interesting. Derek Stingley Jr., sets the mark for DBs. He gets a 3-year, $90 million, $89 million guaranteed deal from the Houston Texans. That was big news. And the Vikings traded for Jordan Mason from the 49ers. They gave some back end picks to acquire him. 2 years, $7 million, all guaranteed. Could go up to $12 million with incentives. And the 49ers, who had let go of Kyle Juszczyk, have brought back Kyle Juszczyk.
Just a little restructure, baby.
Just a little restructure. And one of the most confusing situations as far as backups are concerned, Cooper Rush is signed up to be Lamar Jackson's backup.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
It's very confusing. You'd think you would get it like a duplicate type of quarterback, but no.
Yeah, they have complete. They changed that entire offense for Lamar. Why would they bring in a quarterback that's not?
I don't know. Got a question. Hold on. Before we move on, quick question. Just a quick question. The Dolphins also made a signing for their backup quarterback, right? Zach Wilson. Would you rather have Zach Wilson as your backup or Russell Wilson as your backup?
Russell Wilson, not even.
Okay,
a question.
I'm out on
Zach Wilson. No,
I thought I was crazy. I would say some of the guys on the Levitard show have said Zach Wilson because he has more upside, and I'm like, I don't want upside out of my backup quarterback. I want a guy who can come in and get shit done. I don't need upside. It's not my future.
I disagree with that. I think Zach Wilson has showed us who he is.
That being one, but two, I don't want my backup quarterback to be a project.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. Especially if you have a very fragile quarterback like him, like Tua. Like, I want a steady hand. I don't want a project.
I didn't even take that into consideration. I was just thinking in generalities about like, oh, who would I rather have as a backup? You make a great point. Whoever the backup is in Miami is going to play.
Yeah.
This like is why the Ryan Fitzpatrick thing was so good, because he could have Fitzmagic for one or two games a year. It's when you put him in there for eight that things start to get shaky. But
exactly. So,
yeah, so. I got nothing against Zach Wilson because I don't know him personally, but
I know he'd be fucking moms.
Great Dennis Green, he is who we thought he was.
He's the MILF hunter.
Yeah. God, that's
even surprised how quick.
Quick, maybe hits quick hit.
We can actually hit the button twice.
God, that used to be my go-to guy.
That used to be. Oh, what, I don't know what you're talking about. NHL. The Panthers lost to the Islanders last night. That was very annoying. We were up 2-0, lost, I think, 4-2 at the end of the game. All in the third period. Who am I? Still top of the table of the Cat Atlantic right now, but have two games more played than both the Lightning and the Leafs. But we're sitting at 85 points right now. In the Metropolitan, the team I think that's running away with it, the Washington Capitals. Lead that division. The Hurricanes behind them. The Devils behind them. The Jets, who have more points than the Caps, played one more game than the Caps. They have 98 points. They're top of the Central. Stars and Avalanche right behind them. And then in the Pacific, you got the Knights, the Oilers, and the Kings. As far as wild card positioning in the Eastern Conference, you got the Senators and the Rangers. And in the Western Conference, you got the Wild and the Canucks. The Blues are on the heels of the Canucks right now. The Canadiens are on the heels of the Rangers. That's going to be interesting to shake out. We'll see as the season continues. Brandon, you have anything to add?
Yeah, Alex Ovechkin, still doing it, man. 39 still years old.
Getting it done.
You play till you can't play no more. And it's crazy. At 39,
and he's playing great.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He leads in goals.
I would say last time I checked, he was like 13 goals away from the Gretzky record. I haven't checked since. But yeah, no, that man is a man on a mission. All right, I think it's time for...
Go till you can't go. Time for everyone's favorite segment of the program, the Fulham Corner. Big win this last week. Sunday game. Joe, what do you got?
Sunday 9 o'clocker. You know what I hate, Brennan?
Sunday 9 o'clock.
Sunday 9 o'clock. Or boy, was your boy struggling to be awake for that? Yeah, Fulham played Tottenham Hotspurs, a classic Big Six club, but a team that has been faltering the last two seasons after Harry Kane moved and went to Bayern Munich. They currently are 14th in the table. Big Six, what did I say?
You said a classic Big Six club. What does that mean?
Oh, I was like, what? So your Big Six club were your big money spenders for like a 10 to 15 period of time. Everton was in there, Man City, Man U, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, and Arsenal. Yeah, those were your big six. Like every year for like a decade, they were always the top six.
That makes sense. Got it.
Switching sides. But Everton has fallen off like in the last 3-4 years. And Tottenham has fallen in the last 2 years. Man U has taken a nosedive this year.
It's bad this year.
Yeah, it was kind of like last year. It was like it started off shaky, but then they got back to where they needed to be. And this year, it's just like, well, we're just middle of the table.
That draw with Man U doesn't look nearly as good now.
It's still Man U. All right, they still got good players there. They just They just can't put it all together. Anyways, so Fulham faced off with Tottenham Hotspurs. I think it was a home game. Yeah, it was a home game at Craven Cottage. Reverse fixture. I want to say we drew with them the first time earlier this year, or it was 2-1 because I remember Tom Kearney got sent off like right after he got a goal. No, it was 1-1. So Tom Kearney tied it up, got sent off, but we held on to keep it level. At about the 75th minute, literally, the broadcaster says, all right, about 15 minutes left in this game. I don't know if anybody's going to score. They kind of need to do it now. As that was happening, a build-up play was already set in motion on the right-hand side of the field. Adama Traore, along with Tom Kearney and Andreas Pereira, were putting something together. Got it into the attacking third. Made a nice pass from Adama to Pereira. Pereira slices it over to Rodrigo Muniz. Rodrigo Muniz puts just enough power, but not too much power, to get it between two defenders and right by the outstretched hand of the goalkeeper to go one up at that moment. On the other side, they had an attack, and the commentators thought there should have been a penalty called potentially on Calvin Bassey. The way I read the play, Calvin Bassey gets a toe on the ball before he commits whatever foul that they wanted called, so he has establishing position on the ball. So the referee gave us a no call, which was the right decision. Right after that, there were substitutions in where Ryan Sessegnon comes in. Now, I want to give a little backstory here on Ryan Sessegnon. Ryan Sessegnon was a kid who came. Him and his twin brother were signed to the club very young in the youth academy. Ryan helped us get promoted one time when we were in the champions to the Premier League. After that season, he was a talent at like 19. So Tottenham signed him from us at the time. I think one of our record transfers. And it's been about 4 or 5 years. He dealt with some injuries. He dealt with people getting played over him. Eventually, he leaves Tottenham. And Fulham re-signs him back for free. No fee.
Just a little restructuring, baby.
No fee included. Just Cal, a little restructure. So he's played a couple times this season. He's had a couple good moments this season. He gets subbed in at the 85th minute. He scores in the 86th minute. It was such a beautiful goal. He literally, I'll send you the video on Instagram. He's literally scores with a defender draped on him. The guy is like hand across his chest and he just leans back, rockets one in and gets it in the net. And it was a beautiful goal. And everybody gave him his flowers, the whole team. Let him have that moment. It was something pretty special. One of our own is a thing you'll hear a lot as far as the soccer in Europe, because if you have a kid that you develop through the youth team and you get to sign him and he becomes a really good player, that's a lot of pride because that means the system is working.
But that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. We were talking about this before the mics went on. This whole idea that these teams invest so much into these guys, and then sometimes they just, a lot of times they just leave. And you're like, but in Europe, they're like, yeah, that's the way it goes. That's what happens. I was about to say,
because sometimes, like in a situation like Joao Palhinha came to our club. He's not like one of our own in that way, but came to our club. It proved his standing as a center defense mid, but Fulham is not in a place where they're going to play champions level football. And if you're a player of that talent, that caliber, that's something you strive for. So when you leave to go to Bayern Munich, it's like, we're not going to really kill you because you're going to do what you want to do. In that situation with Cesc, when he left, it was like, he's a Premier League level player, potentially, because he's like 19 at the time. And it's like, okay, we're about to go back down. So as a team, we're regressing in our chart, whatever.
Yeah,
In our timeline. And he wants to go to a club that has a Premier League level infrastructure. So you can't begrudge the player because they're doing what's best for their long-term future.
I think, to what you just said, I think in Europe they're more mature when it comes to athletics because they don't begrudge players.
Yeah.
Well, whereas in
some people,
you know what I'm saying?
There are situations where there's some begrudging, but in
like, didn't
all
Cristiano
cases,
Ronaldo
it's not.
Go from like one team to his rival team and everyone's just like,
No, he went from like a small club, not a smaller club in Portugal, then he went to Man U, then he went to Juventus.
Okay.
Which is in a whole different league.
Yeah, with all this movement and stuff, I do want to say December 1st, it was a 1-1 draw.
Yeah. I think I charted that. It was a 1-1 draw. TC got the tying goal, and then like a minute later, he got a red card on a call that shouldn't have been a red card. That was my birthday
game. You know what I'm
saying? I remember that game. But all right, let's get out of here.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Last thing I meant to actually tack on to that, Fulham now eighth in the table going into another international break. Only 2 points behind Brighton and Newcastle, who are 7-6, 3 points off of the fifth place. So Europe still within our grasp.
Top five, top six?
Top six and seven, depending on things sometimes.
Points, okay.
Yeah,
see, this
not necessarily
about.
Points. Like, you can get into like a playoff for Europa League, and then if you make the through with the playoff there, then you're in Europa League.
These losses and draws to these bottom table teams, really are gonna. That's what it comes down to.
That game against Ipswich, that game against Wolves,
Leeds.
Yeah. It's gonna.
We're
really
gonna miss the European tournament because of Leeds, motherfucker.
Yeah. All right. Brennan, where can we find you?
At Brennan T Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. By the time you're listening to this, I'm in Los Angeles, baby.
This will be out before Wednesday.
Back to Cali. I'm on my way to LA. so if you're in the Los Angeles area, Saturday, the 22nd, Riff Raff at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room. It's the late show. It's the crazy show. Wildest show in the West. Get tickets for that. And I have, I'm going on tour with my good buddy, the headliner, Matt Fulshron, The Full Charge, in April and May. So get tickets at BrennanTComedy.com. Joe.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Dorville and Blue Sky. You can find me Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. You can find this show's Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Cheering Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the network. That is A New Low. That is Who Does a Podcast. Who Does a Podcast? We just did Waitress, and we're doing Popeye next. Popeye starring one Robin Williams, comedian, RIP, legend. Don't forget to check out my merch under the name Headphone Joe, noonoeinthephone.etsy.com. Don't forget to check out the music, Headphone Joe on all your DSPs. That's TV Season 2. Outside and 30. I always want to say 30 before outside, even though chronologically it's not before outside, but it just flows better. TV Season 2, 30 outside. It just sounds better.
Yeah, it doesn't.
just sounds
once better. It's out there, it's out there. Just do it that way.
I know, but I try to do it chronologically. But yeah, that's it. Brendan, let's get you out of here because you need to get ready to go to work. You working tonight?
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. And that's why we play game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out. Bill Russell, man. Episode 2 of that Celtics talk. I went down a crazy rabbit hole. That guy, not enough credit. Underrated. Bill Russell. Man, myth, legend.
Huge shout out, Cess. One of our own, baby.